Hey, Money Buddies, Skylar here, and I'm interrupting your regularly scheduled weekly programming with a few bonus episodes this week because I'm launching a brand new podcast called Financial Planning for Young Adults, and the first 5 episodes are available right now. I'm going to be releasing them on this feed as well to give you a taste of my brand new show. If you've been following Money Talk, you know that I'm all about making personal finance simple, actionable, and honestly way less intimidating than the industry makes it out to be. And this new show takes that approach and dials it up specifically for young adults in their 20s or early 30s who feel like they should have this whole money thing figured out by now and want to get it under control. Here's what we're launching my brand new show with. Episode 1, Crafting Your Financial Why. Before you can build any sort of financial plan, you need to know why money matters to you. Episode 2 is I Made My Wife Cry About Money. Yes, that's not clickbait. It's a real story about how my perfectly optimized spreadsheet brought my wife to tears, and you're going to enjoy the story behind that one. Episode 3 is how to build a financial plan in your 20s, and this is where I break down the actual framework. What do you need to focus on right now versus what can wait? And I cut through all the noise and complexity to give you a clear roadmap. Episode 4 is estate planning is simple and easy. And I know that estate planning sounds like something that's for rich old people, but here's the thing. You need to make sure that you have some basic estate planning in place, even if you're only 18 years old. And I'm going to show you how to get 80% of it done, and maybe even all of it done for absolutely free. You're going to love that episode. And then episode 5 of my launch day extravaganza is enjoy spending money with buckets and sinking funds. And this one is about how to actually enjoy spending money without guilt. I'm going to share how my wife and I use sinking funds for our trip to Hawaii. And I'm going to show you an easy way to use buckets to reconsider budgeting. And all 5 of these episodes are live and available right now in whatever podcast app you're using. So just search Financial Planning for Young Adults or check the link in the very top of the show notes. And these aren't your parents' boring financial lectures. Every episode is story-driven and practical, and I'm designing these all to help you take action every single week, not someday when you have enough money or when you get around to it. So please, search Financial Planning for Young Adults, subscribe, and binge those first 5 episodes, and please let me know what you think. Drop a comment on YouTube or Spotify or send me an email at fpyapod@gmail.com. And if you would also please leave a 5-star review, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm building this show for each and every one of you, Money Buddies, so your feedback matters. So let's get into this special bonus episode from Financial Planning for Young Adults. Money Talk will be back on Thursday with yet another great Money Talk. So enjoy, Money Buddies. So what is going to happen to all of the money that you've earned over your entire life when you finally die? That's the question that comes to mind to all of us every now and then, but so many of us, well, we just don't really worry about it. This is something that all of us at one time or another have just blown off, and this is something that in this episode is going to apply to each and every one of us. So we're going to make it simple, approachable, easy, and very likely free to get this key element of our personal finances in order, which is estate planning. This is going to be a really fun and honestly eye-opening conversation for all of us today. While researching this episode and putting together this outline and figuring out what I wanted to talk about today, I realized that estate planning, it's even simpler than I thought it had to be. But today we have a story about how my wife and I figured out this estate planning thing and how we got our beneficiary designations all in order and how it really wasn't that complicated. And in the research segment today, that's where I'm going to tackle what exactly you need to do and what you don't need to bother with when you're still in these young adult years and you maybe don't have your entire financial foundation under you. It's a really simple and easy process to get started, and estate planning doesn't have to be this big, complex thing. And then finally, we're going to wrap it up with a case study where we're going to cover Bradley's situation. What do you do when estate planning has potential to change? That and more in today's episode. Well, my wife and I, we found ourselves in a situation that so many of you listening have also found yourself in. I had put create a will on our budget meeting agendas and in my to-do list for years, literally years. I remember looking back at an old Notion database that I had set up, and the last remaining to-do list in that database was create a will. And I've come a long way in understanding when a will is useful and when it's not, but for so many of us, we just get told to create a will. You need to make sure to have a will. And that may not be what you even need to do. There may be a simpler approach that you can take. And if everyone is saying, create a will, does that make it right?
Well, don't you have to have a will in order to be able to say what happens to all of your assets and money when you die? That's wrong. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How did Rebecca and I manage to make this simple? That was our desire. We wanted to make this big, complex, and often scary topic of estate planning simple. A will seemed like this complex document that we needed to spend money on in order to get. Did we even need one? It wasn't really money that we wanted to spend. We didn't have kids or a huge amount of assets, but everyone says to not die without a will, or it seems like it's going to end up being the end of the world. What if we did need one? Was that maybe in the cards? We needed to figure all this out. That was a huge gap for us, and we really didn't want to spend money in this area. Why did it all have to be so complicated? Did we need a will? Did we need a trust? Did we need to find an estate planning attorney? Where do you even find an estate planning attorney? It feels like the kind of thing that you need to talk to your grandma about, right? It's money we didn't really want to spend in this area because we're not going to die, right? At least we're not going to die together at the exact same time. Because if either one of us were to die, all of our assets are titled joint with rights of survivorship. Is that all we needed to do? And there's a good hint. That might be all you need to do with a couple extra small steps that are free, don't require that attorney that I mentioned, and all these great things that you feel is that big hurdle to overcome with estate planning. Yeah, you likely don't need that. The key thing that I said there is, how are your documents titled? That's going to be the key thing. But honestly, we were still worried. What if we did both die? So now I want to bring you up a few years. Yes, that create a will item is still sitting in my to-do list. And honestly, I still haven't done it, but that's okay because we figured out what we need to do. This is when I started to take my CFP courses to become a certified financial planner. And I realized we didn't need a will at all. Guess what? 80% to potentially 100%, almost all of your assets are in accounts that could just use a beneficiary designation. That's all you really need. So that's what we needed to do. We realized that all we had to do was go through our beneficiary designations. And I have 7 simple steps with an 8th one that's going to allow you to come back and review this. And I'll share these steps again later in the research segment of this episode. But the first one is going to be to write down every account that you can think of with money in it. This could be your IRA, this could be your 401k, your HSA, your checking account, your savings account, your old checking account that you had with your grandma when she opened up one for you when you were a kid. It could be any sort of account that has money in it. Write it all down in a Google Doc, a piece of paper, however you'd like to write it down. Now I want you to go into your calendar and schedule a specific day that you are going to log into every single one of these accounts. And then go to that day, log into every single account, and update what you can online. And write down the ones that don't allow you to do it online. And a key thing here, if you're married, before you actually go in and update these, make sure you sit down with that list of accounts that you wrote down and talk about it with your spouse, because that's going to be a decision you want to make together to decide where are all of our various accounts going, because it's very likely that your primary beneficiary, that should be your spouse. And then the contingent beneficiaries, that can be parents, step-parents, siblings, kids, grandkids, however you want to set it up. But the primary one should probably be your spouse, and then you can work from there. But make sure you're having that discussion. But then, like I said, you're going to log into each account, update what you can online, and then write down the ones that don't allow you to do it online. And honestly, it's pretty disappointing that this isn't something that everyone can easily update online. If you can't update these accounts online, you are going to have to call in or go in person, and you're going to have to ask them how to add a payable on death or a transferable on death or a beneficiary. Those are the terms you'll hear used a little bit interchangeably. And now keep this checklist and that note that you were writing down of all the different accounts. Write down who you listed as your beneficiary. That way it's all in one place, because it's a headache to have to log into these accounts every single time. Right at the top, updated as of, and then the date that you do this, and then have all those accounts listed out. And then next to those, put who you listed as the primary beneficiary and the contingent beneficiaries. When it comes to this last and final step, when I say check every 2 to 3 years and review your beneficiary designations, all you have to do is go find that piece of paper, look at it, say, yep, it's all good, or no, this person died, we need to change them out so that the money doesn't get lost, which is a story I'm going to share in the research segment today. You need to make sure you're reviewing this regularly. And that's what my wife and I did. We allocated money to our parents, our siblings, and so on as we went through every single account. And guess what? We didn't do this all at once. We honestly did about 2 or 3 accounts, 1 budget meeting. We did 3 or 4 the next budget meeting. And now we're all done. We finally got this done. And yes, we didn't create a will. There are a few things that we do still need to do, but we're done. I'm sure you are just like my wife and I. We weren't worried that we were gonna die. So use that lack of worry that you're gonna die as a reason to give yourself just a little bit of time to do this. Don't feel like you have to do it all at once, but please don't feel like this is something you never have to do. So give yourself a little bit of space, maybe 2 to 3 months if you're really not wanting to take this on all at once, because trust me, it's not that hard when you go this beneficiary route and just name beneficiaries on your accounts. And then make sure, of course, please actually make the updates, actually log into your bank accounts or your investment accounts and go and make the update to update your beneficiaries. And trust me, the peace of mind that's going to come is going to be a huge deal. But like I said, for my wife and I, we're not all done. We could still use a living will or healthcare directives, HIPAA authorizations are something we want to make sure we have, and guardianship for our dog. That's something we aren't super worried about. We have an idea that people would take care of her after we die, but we could specify that information, and also we could earmark some funds to be able to take care of her. We could set up our dog to be financially independent and set up some sort of investment account that we take 4% from and follow the 4% rule that is our dog fund, right? And then whoever is taking care of our dog can get that money, and then they don't have to worry about financially taking care of the dog. And that would help set them up in a huge way. And the same thing goes with children, whether it's children or pets, anything you're taking care of and that you're the guardian over, you want to make sure you have some sort of document that outlines your directives and your ideas and what you want to happen and who you want to take care of, whatever it is, children or pets or whatever. Maybe it could even be your plants. As you begin to grow more wealth or start a family, there's going to be more discussions that will come up. Please don't think that this beneficiary designation approach is the only thing you'll ever have to do in your life, but it at least gets you started. There may be children involved. There may be future trust that you need to create. There may be wealth that you need to be careful with to avoid estate taxes if you get that wealthy. But for now, a large part of our estate planning is done. And it's a huge, huge peace of mind. And I recommend that this is where you start. Make it easy on yourself and follow those 7 steps that I outlined and check it every 2 to 3 years. It doesn't have to be so difficult, which is going to move us into the research block today where I found some simple and easy things that everyone in their 20s and 30s need to do. And I found some data to help drive home why this is so important for each and every one of us. I found some fantastic articles that are all linked in the show notes, because if you want to do some more digging, please head over, click on those links, and let me know what you think. If you have any thoughts or questions as we continue through this, leave a comment and I'd be happy to answer them either in a reply or in a future episode. But this next segment, I took those articles and distilled them down to some great takeaways for each of us today. Let me know what you think with a comment on Spotify or YouTube. Do you have your estate planning in order? And then after you answer that, let's get into today's research. Let's get into today's research segment. And I'm going to show some things on screen here, but not a whole lot. I'm going to do some reading as well. But if you want to check out the episode on YouTube or Spotify, you can see the full video version, including the graphics that I'll put up on screen. Let's get into this first article today, which is You're Not Too Young for an Estate Plan, 7 Essential Tips for Your 20s and 30s. And this one was found on Kiplinger.com. Link is in the show notes. But here's a quote that I heard from it that I think is going to help drive this home of why some of these individual little documents that you can do now are such a big deal. One example is in 1990, 26-year-old Terry Schiavo, I think is how her name is pronounced, she suffered a cardiac emergency that left her in a irreversible vegetative state that triggered a 15-year legal battle over her care. Her husband insisted on a natural death and letting her go, while her parents argued that they needed to keep her alive using extraordinary measures. A simple healthcare directive would have allowed Terry to make the decision and would have prevented a legal battle that controlled her destiny in this vegetative state. And guess what? She was 26 years old. That's likely right in the middle of our listening audience. Incapacity can happen at any age. You don't know when it'll happen, and you won't be able to do anything about it if you haven't already put this document in place. And it's called a living healthcare directive or a living will, so make sure you've already put this in place. There's plenty of free templates online that you can fill out, type, print, go get notarized so it's official, and then you don't have to worry about anything else. You just tell some people where the document is. If something's to happen to you, they know where to find the document, they can present it. And then your directives and your decisions that you made when you were in a good state of mind to make them can be followed, and you don't have to deal with everyone battling over what to happen in your care situation. What if someone makes the decision to pull the plug and take you off life support when that's not a decision you wanted to be made? That's a huge deal. That could literally mean life or death with this one simple document. So having a living will and a healthcare directive in place is honestly essential. From that same article, it says, when you create a will, you designate what will happen to your property, including your digital assets. You can name an executor who's responsible for executing your wishes. A will doesn't have to be detailed, but it can make sure that your family knows your wishes. However, you may not need to include your financial accounts, such as life insurance, because those can be transferred via beneficiary designations. If you aren't able to give something away via both payable on death or transferable on death or a beneficiary designation, which those terms you'll hear used interchangeably, then you can designate where you want it to go via a will. It doesn't have to be something that's super complicated. It again can just be written out, printed, notarized, make it official, and then that's all it takes. It doesn't have to be this big complicated document with all this legalese and whatnot. It can be pretty simple, saying, I want this thing to go to this person, and you just list it out in bullet point form, or even maybe an Excel sheet, which I know will get you math nerds excited. You could go create your will in a spreadsheet, and maybe that's what I'm going to do because that sounds kind of fun. The Kiplinger article also recommends reviewing your beneficiaries. They say it's essential to update your legal documents and financial accounts and the beneficiaries you list on them whenever there's a significant life change, such as getting married, getting divorced, or having a child. And they say a critical decision is guardianship. If you have children, you need a guardianship clause in your will that designates a legal guardian for them in case you die before they reach the age of 18. When a parent dies without designating a guardian or alternate guardians for children, it falls to a judge to decide who becomes responsible for those kids. And unfortunately, this will likely lead to family members often engaging in ugly legal battles over custody of children who have no say in their own fates or rights because they're still children. And I love this one. The Kiplinger article mentions pet guardianship. They say most pet owners consider their pets to be family, but there aren't many laws about what to do when a pet dies. If you die without a will, unless a kind neighbor, family, or friend steps up to care for your pet, it's likely that your pet's going to end up in a shelter. Adding a pet guardianship clause to your will can ensure that your pet stays with that trusted friend or family member who's agreed to take care of the pet for the rest of their life. There's also out there, and this is something that I learned that's brand new, there are pet trusts that you can set up. You can set up a trust to benefit your pet. That way, if they need money to help take care of their health situation or buy them food, you can help pay for that and reduce that burden on whoever's going to help take care of them. That's something that's pretty cool. My wife and I, we only have our dog Maple, and I think this is something that we're going to consider setting up because it'd be kind of fun to have some sort of thing set up to take care of our dog even if we were both to die. Then we would know she's going to be taken care of. Now, this next article I found is all about how beneficiaries trump a will. This is from the Brandon Legal Group, and that link is in the show notes. But it's titled, Why Are Beneficiary Designations More Important Than a Will? For many people, designated beneficiary assets represent 60 to 80% of your total asset value. Another stat is that 70% of people haven't reviewed their beneficiary designations in 5+ years. And 30% of people now have inappropriately named beneficiaries, like an ex-spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend, if maybe you were living together for a prolonged period of time and you started a new job and wanted to make sure your 401k went to them. And don't think I'm just telling these stories and making them up in my mind. These are real-world horror stories that really hit home. There's been many instances of life insurance that is left to an ex-wife, and guess what? She's just going to keep it. And guess what? She is the rightful owner of it. Regardless of what you think or how you feel like it should actually go, if a different person is listed as the beneficiary, they are the rightful owner of that money. So please make sure you're updating your beneficiaries. Let's go through those 8 steps that I gave you earlier and do this with every single account. Take these steps step by step. Don't do them all at once or you're going to burn out trying to do this process and you're going to end up right back at square one wondering, oh, I need to get my estate planning in order. So go through these one step at a time. The first one is going to be to write down every account that you can think of that has money in it. And then I'm going to interject right here, if you're married, take this list and talk about it with your spouse. That way you can decide where the money is going to go together. But next, you're going to schedule a day to log into every single account. And I do put schedule a day as its own specific step because you're just going to miss it and then you're never going to get around to it. So step two is to schedule a day on your calendar. Step three, log into each account and update what you can online. Step four, write down or notate which ones didn't allow you to update it online. Step five is going to be to call or go into the branch of those ones that didn't let you update it online and ask them why you can't update it online. But then update your payable on death either over the phone or in person. And then step six is to just keep working on your checklist until it's complete And honestly, write it down digitally so that you don't have to try to keep finding this piece of paper every single couple years when you want to review this. But then 7, keep it all stored in one place. And then 8, review it every 2 to 3 years. Set a reminder on your phone. Or when there's major life updates like marriage, kids, anything like that, that's a great time to pull out this document, review it, make sure the beneficiaries are all correct, and update the ones that aren't. And trust me, it only gets easier as you keep doing this more and more down the road. I want to share here on screen a couple pieces of terminology that may be useful in this area just to define them for you. These aren't a huge deal, but just know what these mean. Per stirpes, well, that means by roots or by branch. Under this method, an inheritance is initially divided into equal shares of the first generation of beneficiaries, typically the children of the deceased. If a primary beneficiary has passed away, the designated shares pass down to their direct descendants, such as children, in equal proportions. And per capita, this means by head. This distribution method divides inheritance equally among all living beneficiaries at a specific generational level. Unlike per stirpes, this distribution focuses on the number of living individuals at a particular point in time, rather than the following family branches. If a beneficiary at the initial distribution level has died, their share is not automatically passed down to their descendants. Instead, the total inheritance is redivided among the remaining living beneficiaries at the same generational level. So there's just a couple of quick definitions for you to round out that article. The next one that I want to talk about is Avoiding Probate is Simple for Young People by All Street Wealth. And of course, the link is in the show notes. This one, I really just have something quick to share with you. It says the best way to avoid probate is by naming beneficiaries on all of your important accounts in your life. Insurance accounts, retirement accounts, give them all a transferable on death, any sort of checking, any sort of bank account. And I hope that's what's really sticking with you here, is that estate planning doesn't have to be trusts, wills, legal documents, all these sort of things. It can be as simple as beneficiary designations. And I got one final article to share here with you about why a will, well, they aren't the priority when you're starting out. And this one is from Trust and Will. I do have a link to Trust and Will in my show notes. So if you're interested in getting one of their products, I would greatly appreciate if you would use my link that you can find in the show notes. But Trust and Will shares in their article, it says, designated beneficiaries are typically only required for assets such as life insurance, annuities, and retirement accounts. A will control probate assets or assets that don't have a beneficiary designation. For someone in their 20s or 30s just starting out, it's likely that you have retirement accounts, life insurance, and a bank account, and maybe some student loan debt that can just go away when you die, and some minimal personal property that you may not even care to designate who gets it. Most of what you need doesn't need to go through a will. It won't even make it to a will because it'll all be done through beneficiary designations. And guess what? Not needing a will saves you money on the probate process. Well, it saves the people who are going to end up getting your money from getting some of that money snatched up by lawyers and probate attorneys, right? So keep it simple and make sure to get your beneficiary designations in order. And I want to hit home here this idea about the 80% rule. About 80% of your assets are going to pass by beneficiary designation, not your will. And that means that most, and honestly, at your age, all of your assets can be handled by beneficiary designations. And that's the situation in today's case study where I talked with Bradley about his estate planning process. Hint, it's simple, and it's honestly no more of a cost than term life insurance that Bradley would have needed anyways, given his situation. So in the end, his estate planning, it was free and super simple. So when everyone says that estate planning is complicated and expensive, that's not true. And now you all know this, and by the end of this episode, we're all going to be certain that you do not have to go through a big, expensive, complicated process to get your estate plan in order. So let's continue on and enjoy Bradley's case study about his simple estate planning journey.
So today's story is one of Bradley Williamson, and this story is going to resonate with so many of you listening. It's a situation we've all found ourselves in where we feel like estate planning is going to be complicated, scary, and overwhelming. Bradley is a 27-year-old project coordinator at a tech company in Denver. He earns about $68,000 a year. He graduated about 5 years ago from college, and he's still working on about $32,000 in student loans. Bradley's getting married to his fiancée Emma in 4 months, and they're already talking about starting a family in the next couple of years, so congratulations to them. Like many people his age, Bradley heard that he should have estate planning done, but the whole topic feels overwhelming and frankly kind of morbid. His parents mentioned that once he gets his first real job, that it'd be their advice to make sure he has a will someday, right? It just seems so broad and unknown. And Bradley's been putting it off, and I think it's something that all of us do. Like Bradley, many of us feel like it's for older, wealthier people and not those of us just starting our financial lives. So what is Bradley's current financial picture? Well, he has a 401k of about $45,000. He's making sure to get his company match. Go Bradley, that's a huge win right there. About $12,000 in a Roth IRA, $8,000 in a rollover IRA, $3,500 in a checking account, $8,000 in a savings account, about $18,000 worth of a Honda Civic with about $9,000 still owed, and he has about $5,000 in personal belongings. But what you can see here is he honestly doesn't have a ton of assets, but he does have some, especially about what, $60,000, maybe $70,000 in net worth. Well, let's move on to his debts. He has about $32,000 in federal student loans, that $9,000 in an auto loan, and he has just shy of $3,000 in credit card debt right now. His insurance is basic, it's through his employer, and it's about $50,000. But he also has a 3-year-old dog named Cooper. He lives with his fiance Emma in a rented apartment, and Emma earns about $62,000 in her marketing position and has about a similar debt scenario. So, where did his estate planning concerns come into play? Well, one evening, Bradley and Emma, they were sitting there watching TV, and he told me that this life insurance commercial came on, and Emma casually mentioned, "We should probably figure out what's going to happen to our stuff if something were to happen to one of us. My friend Sarah just went through a nightmare of a scenario where her dad died without a will." And then this kicked Bradley right into that same sort of spiral of worry that he'd been going through for years at this point. He knows he should do estate planning, but where does he even start? He's heard terms like trusts, probate, executors, testamentary wills, all that sort of jargon, but he has no idea how it actually applies to him or what's even necessary. Should he wait until after the wedding? Bradley was telling me that he wonders if there's any point in doing anything now since he's just going to get married and that's going to cause things to change. Also, they're considering having kids. So if they're considering having kids, why bother now? It feels like it's a big old moving target. And I'm sure many of you have felt this exact same way, where it just feels like this estate planning thing is just moving from side to side and you don't actually know what to do with it, right? Bradley also says, "I don't have that much. Does it even matter?" When Bradley listed out what he owns and we talked about it, most of his wealth is tied up in retirement accounts, and it's not necessarily even cash or big ticket items. Does he even need estate planning with these sort of assets? And now here's the real fun one. Bradley's already stretched thin. His money's going towards a wedding, which aren't always cheap. He's assuming that he's going to need to hire some expensive attorney and spend thousands and thousands of dollars that, frankly, he just doesn't have or doesn't really care to spend on estate planning. And then this is what really hit it home for him. What about his dog? What about Cooper, the dog that he really likes? Bradley's dog, to him, it's like family. And to think of Cooper ending up in a shelter, that would be heartbreaking. And he's sure that Emma would take care of it if something were to happen to him, but what if something were to happen to both of them? What happens to his dog? And this is the same sort of scenario if you have children. What happens to your children if both you and your spouse were to die? So then this is where talking with a professional and talking with other people about money can be so amazing, because Bradley had this big aha that he realized, and just like you did throughout this episode, financial planning and estate planning, well, it doesn't have to be that complex. Bradley realized that his situation was pretty straightforward, and because he didn't have a lot of assets, that's what really clicked for him. His first realization is that most of his assets, well, they don't even need to go through a will. He didn't realize that. He learned that his 401k, his IRAs, and his employer life insurance, they all pass directly to whoever he lists on some document with him, all on that beneficiary document, which is going to completely bypass the will anyways. So the majority of his $65,000, $70,000 of retirement savings, that doesn't even have to go through probate or even need a will. No court has to be involved, and that already is reducing his stress and costs. He just has to write down on a piece of paper who's going to get this money. It's as simple and easy as that. The second realization for Bradley is that he could do something right now. He realized that these beneficiary designations, they were easy to set up, even with his changes coming. And yes, getting married and having children requires updating your estate plan. But it doesn't mean you can't do something right now. But doing nothing still means that the state default is going to apply to your situation if you were to die before you got married or have kids. And guess what? It's going to be even harder to update your estate plan when you have kids getting in the way and keeping you busy, or marriage getting in the way and keeping you busy. So get that simple foundation set up now and update your beneficiaries. You can start doing some of them now, and maybe you just tackle the biggest account because you know there's changes coming up in your life that's going to completely restructure how your checking account and savings account look. So you don't want to set those ones up right now, but you know you have this big old 401k sitting out there that you need to get set now. So consider an easy approach. Just take it one step at a time. Now here's the real big realization for Bradley that played a huge role for him. His biggest need, well, it was completely free. And so is your biggest need. That is beneficiaries. I should retitle this episode to Beneficiaries, 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 because that's what it's been all about. That is the simple and easy estate planning step that you can make today as a young adult, or really anyone at any point in your life. Make sure your beneficiaries are updated. No attorneys required. And the fourth realization for Bradley is that his debts actually simplified things for him. He was worried about his credit card debt and student loan debt, but we learned together that the federal student loans will be discharged at death. And that his credit card debt, well, that really wasn't that much. And then the life insurance money that he has through his work could pay that off. Since he didn't have a huge estate, it really wasn't going to be that big of a deal. So he really didn't have to completely worry about the debt situation. And then the beneficiary designations took care of everything else. So now he's done. Let's talk through his action plan. What does Bradley actually do to get this in place? And what are some of the things that he can do with his fiance, Emma, in order to make sure they feel like they actually have this estate planning thing in order in case they were to both die? So we have a four-step process here that I'm going to read through to help give you an example of what you can do with your estate planning. Well, step one for Bradley was beneficiary designations, and that's the seven steps that I read earlier. But really, Bradley spent one afternoon tackling this because his 401k and his IRAs were able to be updated online. He remembers filling out the paperwork and listing his mom as the beneficiary, but he doesn't think he needs it to be his mom anymore. So he lists his fiance, Emma, as 100%. And let's say they break up. He needs to update these right away again, but it's very likely that they're going to get married, so that's not something he has to worry about. So he lists his fiance Emma as the 100% beneficiary, and then he lists his sister Rachel as a 50% contingent beneficiary, and then he lists Emma's sister Claire as the other 50% of the contingent beneficiary. And even though they're not married yet, he wants to make sure Emma gets the money if something were to happen to him before they did get married. And then after the wedding, they can update this again. They can update these whenever they want. Say one of the contingent beneficiaries were to do them wrong, right? They can update that and take that money away so that if they were both to die, that person wouldn't still get 50% of whatever's in the account. And now Bradley decided to move on to his Roth and traditional IRA. He set it up with a primary beneficiary of 100% to Emma, and then contingent were his sister Rachel at 50% and his dad at 50%. This one only took him a couple more minutes to update. One of the key issues that he noticed here, and this is something that I had happen in my financial situation too, is this traditional rollover IRA from a 401k had no beneficiary on it. And why was that? And it likely doesn't carry over from the account that you had previously because it's a new account number. So make sure if you roll your accounts over, you go in and please update those beneficiaries because you don't want it to be left with no beneficiary. That is a worst case scenario. And now Bradley just kept going down the list. He did the same thing with his life insurance and changed it from his mom to his fiance Emma, and then left his mom as the contingent beneficiary should something happen to both him and Emma. And now his checking and savings account, there was no beneficiary designated. But now his next action was to visit the bank. And a big boo to banks and credit unions that don't let you do this online. But he went in and decided to add a payable on death designation, or it may be called a transferable on death, or it could be listed as a beneficiary. But he put his fiance Emma as just the 100% beneficiary on both of those. And now, as they list themselves joint on future assets that they build together, if that's what they decide to do, he doesn't need to list her as payable on death because the other titling option is joint with rights of survivorship. That means that the money's going to go to her should he die. So total time for this step one, it took him about 2 hours to update his beneficiary designations across all of his accounts. And guess what? It was absolutely free. $0 spent at this point in his estate planning. Can you believe that? Because that's the biggest hurdle for people, is they feel like it's going to be so expensive. Step two for Bradley has to do with his dog, Cooper. And again, this is another step that's completely free. Bradley has a conversation with his sister, Rachel, who also loves Cooper and has a house with a fenced yard. And Rachel agrees to take care of Cooper should anything happen to Bradley and Emma. Really simple. Bradley just wrote down a document stating that Rachel, his sister, was designated as Cooper's guardian, including information about his vet history, his food preferences, medical history. He emailed it to Rachel and printed a copy for their important documents. And then he set aside $2,000 from his savings account and added a note that it's for Cooper's care. And now this was completely free, outside of course the savings that he set aside, but that's not money he spent yet. And now step three, this is something that is critically important for all of us young adults. He created a simple digital asset inventory. Again, completely free. Bradley created a password-protected document that included all of his bank account information, 401k information, credit cards, student loans, car loans, insurance information, his social media information, his dog's information. And he shared this document's location and the password with Emma and stored a printed copy in a fireproof safe that Emma suggested they get, which was about $40. So he finally hit some sort of cost to buy a fireproof safe. And now Bradley could also store all of this information in some sort of a digital vault or one of those password sharing apps. I know Apple Passwords allows you to create family groups and share passwords among those groups, and you can write notes on all the passwords, so he could put his account information within the note itself. And there could be quite a few different ways that you could share this information, but I want to hit home, especially for those of us who have a lot of digital assets, like maybe video games that you want to pass on that are all digital in your library. You need to create a digital inventory so that someone knows where all of those things are so that they can get passed down to the right person. And now we have finally hit the point where something cost money, and that was that $40 fireproof safe that they put these important documents in. And honestly, that is not that much money. How much money did you think estate planning was going to cost you? Leave a comment down below on YouTube or on Spotify, and let's see how it compares. Was it just $40, or did you think it would cost something more like $4,000? But the step four for Bradley and his action plan, it's now time to have the conversation with his fiance Emma, because she brought up during that commercial that they should get their estate planning in order. So now Bradley and Emma sit down to have an open and honest conversation about what they would want to happen if each of them or both of them, who they trust to make medical decisions, then they document all of that, make sure they're aligned on Cooper's care or the care of potential future children, their wishes about life-sustaining treatment and pulling the plug or not, and how they want their belongings to be distributed. And while this isn't a legal document yet, as their assets build, they're at least getting started on the same page so that both Bradley and Emma know each other's wishes. Your cost for this overall estate plan and getting on the same page is going to be far cheaper than going to an attorney for your simple situation. So just keep it easy, keep it simple, keep it free and low cost. Now we're moving into a point where Bradley was also super concerned, the future and things changing. But now he has a clear roadmap that sets some guardrails for him when it comes to making these estate planning decisions. There's a couple things that he does need to be aware of as the future begins to move closer. Immediately after his wedding, which is going to be in about 4 months, he needs to update all beneficiary designations and make sure those are correct, and make sure those show that Emma is his spouse. He also needs to potentially add Emma to his card title if he wants to. That's something to consider. He should also go through and review his employer life insurance, because he may want to purchase more. The $50,000 may not be enough, because maybe they decide to move into a home quickly, they decide to start having kids quickly, and while he's young, they could get a lot cheaper of a rate on life insurance, or they could get a lot cheaper of a rate on life insurance for Emma. But the next stage where they need to consider some more things is buying a house. They'll need to make sure that the home deed is titled properly with rights of survivorship so that no one loses the house should the other person die. They could consider umbrella insurance policy because it's not that expensive, but as their assets begin to grow, this can provide a lot of protection should some big accident happen on their property or be their fault. They could also create a simple will now that they're getting to the point where there's more assets besides just bank accounts or simple beneficiary designatable accounts. And they could do this through a service like Trust and Will. And remember, I mentioned that there's a link for them in the show notes if you're considering a product for them. But any sort of personal property not covered by beneficiaries, guardianship, executor designations, and pet guardianship can be put all down in legal language so that it can be upheld and their wishes can be followed. And that's a great point when you're starting to get to a house, because you're going to start building up more and more significant assets. And of course, having children. You've heard me mention that throughout this episode. Immediately update all beneficiary designations, consider upgrading life insurance, make sure you have a will in place with guardianship designations, consider setting up a trust where the money will go to take care of your children, and make sure you have a healthcare power of attorney and your living will in place should anything happen. That way your decision is already made on how you want your health to be taken care of should you be incapacitated. And then the last one, if your estate and assets are really beginning to grow, consider a trust, because this can be a great way to make sure your children have the money that they're going to need to take care of them. That way the person who's taking care of your kids doesn't have the huge financial burden that kids can bring, because you already have money set aside for them. That's a great use for a trust and a great place to begin considering one. But every 2 to 3 years or major life events is a great time to review beneficiaries, update life insurance, update your will, review your inventories, and confirm guardianship choices to make sure they're still accurate. So what is Bradley's overall cost with all this? Well, pre-wedding, it was $40 for that fireproof safe. Well, the first year after their wedding, it was about $860 because they decided to get a will through Trust and Will. Link is in the show notes. They got term life insurance for Bradley, which is about $300 a year. They got term life insurance for Emma, which is about $264 a year. And they figured out a bunch of the rest of their documents that all ended up being free. So about 860 documents in year one. And now the ongoing annual cost for them is only the $564 for their annual life insurance premiums. They could update their will and pay some extra fees here and there as they need to. But honestly, the price of estate planning doesn't have to be much more than term life insurance, because that's something you need anyways. Whether you have your entire estate plan in order or not, term life insurance is something you need to consider. But now for Bradley, one thing he doesn't need to consider 3 months later is estate planning. He has so much peace of mind, and his view on estate planning has completely changed. He covered the basics for under $50. He knows that Cooper is going to go to a loving home. Emma knows now what his wishes are and vice versa. He has a clear roadmap for decision making and guardrails to help guide him on future estate planning decisions. He is also not paying for the complexity that he doesn't need. No expensive attorney fees for a trust that he doesn't even need right now. He can also make updates easily as life changes. But most importantly, Bradley learned that estate planning isn't about being wealthy or old. It's about making sure that the right people and pets that you love are taken care of. Because if there's one thing that's stressful, it's dying without a will and letting the courts decide where all your money goes while everyone fights over it. And for someone in their 20s like you and I, it can be pretty straightforward and simple, and all of this can be accomplished in a few hours for less than the cost of a nice dinner out. And the bottom line is that Bradley took control of his $70,000 in assets and ensured they go to exactly where he wants, all in a weekend, and for about $40 for a fireproof safe for some documents. It can be that easy. A couple of key takeaways here. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. Most estate planning for young adults, it's about beneficiary designations and not wills, trusts, and all that other complex stuff that you have to deal with. Also, life changes don't mean that you should wait. Get your foundation set up now so that at least you have the bare bones in place. And free and simple solutions exist. And don't forget about your pets. Make sure they have guardian designations as well, so that way someone will take care of your pet should you pass away. And then the final one here is your financial picture doesn't have to be complicated to need protection. Even modest amounts like $50,000 or less can use a beneficiary designation to make sure it's all taken care of. So as we head to the end of this episode, be sure to go through all of your accounts today and figure out who your beneficiaries are, and then update them all. And then in a few years, review that document and see if any of them need to be updated, and that's likely all you need to do for now. And if you need help getting this started, I'd be happy to provide you with a template and a free call where we can sit down like I did with Bradley and talk about potential estate planning needs and how it doesn't have to be so complicated and how it's likely going to be completely free. So leave a comment down below if you want to get that started, or shoot me an email and I'd be happy to chat and we can get this started in the simple, easy, and low-cost way. And if we learned anything from today's episode, it's that estate planning isn't this big, scary monster that we need to run away from. Keep it simple and set up your beneficiary designations today, and that will take care of the largest majority of your assets. Of course, there's certainly use cases for more advanced estate planning, but it's likely that you don't need to worry about that. For where you and I are today, this simple approach that we talked about, it's going to work just fine. So go out, take these simple steps, and get the peace of mind that each of us want and each of us deserve when it comes to thinking about what will happen when we die. Please be sure to subscribe as we continue coming out with great topics here on financial planning for young adults. Thank you for listening to this episode of Financial Planning for Young Adults. Have a great week. And hey, quick heads up. This podcast, it's meant to be educational and it's for entertainment purposes. It's not personalized financial advice for your specific situation. So before you go out and make any big money moves, make sure you chat with a qualified financial professional who knows your full financial picture.